Okay. I'd like to call to order the June 23rd, 2022 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission of the Village of River Forest, which is also a public hearing. Administrator Matt Walsh, could you call the roll, please, sir?
Commissioner Graham White.
Here.
Commissioner Reno Ogden.
Here.
Commissioner Forehand.
Here.
Commissioner Krasinski.
Here.
Commissioner Sager.
Here.
And Chairman Franek.
Here. We have a quorum. Approval of meeting minutes for April 21st, 2022. With what we've done the last couple of times, given the fact that some of us are here live and in person, and some of us are attending via telephone and via Zoom, what I'll do is I'll just ask people in rotation if they have any comments. First, on the meeting minutes. Commissioner Reno Ogden?
No comments.
Commissioner Graham White?
No comments.
Commissioner Sager?
No comment.
Forehand?
No comment.
Commissioner Krasinski?
Comment.
And I have no comment either. So is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Matt, could you roll?
Commissioner Graham White?
Aye.
Commissioner Reno Ogden?
Aye.
Commissioner Foran?
Aye.
Commissioner Krasinski?
Aye.
Commissioner Sager?
Aye.
And Chairman Franek?
Aye. Minutes are adopted. Next, public comment. On behalf of the Historic Preservation Commission and members, I'd like to welcome members of the public, including those who are attending in person, by telephone, or by Zoom, as well as those who have submitted written comments in advance. We encourage your participation and look forward to hearing your comments. Is there anyone who wishes to speak on a topic other than 7620 Madison, the former Lutheran and Child Family Services building? If they are, we'll listen to them first. Hearing none, we'll then proceed. I'd like to outline the procedures for those people. First, there'll be a presentation on behalf of the village. Then, as to public comment, for those people who are attending in person, we'd ask you to sign your name and address on the sign-up sheet. We'll call you in the order that you have signed up. I'll then ask if there's anyone else who is in the room who wishes to speak. The Village Administrator Walsh will then read all written comments that have been received as they have been received. I'll then ask if anyone listening via Zoom or telephone wishes to speak. I'll then close the public comment portion of the hearing. No further public comment will be allowed. The commissioners will then discuss and decide. We have three rather simple basic rules. One, comments must be about the topic that is being discussed. Two, please do not be overly repetitive. In order to allow everyone the opportunity to speak, everyone will have 5 minutes. Matt will keep the time. Most importantly, please be respectful of other members of the public, the members of the commission who are all volunteers, and village staff. And with that, I turn the matter over to the village administrator for his presentation.
Good evening. You're all able to hear me fine, hopefully. Great.
Perhaps we could ask that everyone be sworn who wishes to speak.
Yes.
Thank you. So everyone who's going to speak tonight on this matter, other than members of the commission, including folks who are going to be speaking remotely, if you could please raise your right hand. And if there's members, yep, exactly. If you're going to be talking, this is a public hearing, you're going to be under oath. Do you swear that the testimony you give this evening shall be the truth? Very much. Everyone's been sworn in, Chair.
Yeah. Please continue.
Great. Thank you very much. Frenick and Ernie, thank you for making sure that we're rules. I really so for those that don't know me, my name is Brian Murphy, and I am the village administrator. So I am speaking tonight on behalf of the village, who is the applicant as it relates to 7620 Madison. Certificate of appropriateness application that's before you this evening. So I thought I'd start off by providing a little bit of background as to the overall Madison corridor, then to the property itself, and then close out. So a little bit of history. In 2015, the village initiated a market analysis for both North Avenue and Madison Street. The report indicated that both North Avenue and Madison can be positioned to capture development, but it would require village participation to be competitive and to realize its full potential. Following the results of that study, the village initiated a process to create a TIF district for both corridors. The Madison Street TIF district was approved by the village board in 2006. In 2017, 7620 Madison was listed for sale and purchased by the village for redevelopment. The village also owns properties located at 7618 Madison Street, 7614 Madison Street, 7612 Madison Street, number 10 Lathrop, and number 11 Ashland. The village has actively marketed the assembled properties for adaptive reuse and for redevelopment. The most recent RFP expression for interest campaign in the summer of 2021 resulted in no plausible proposals for the development and redevelopment or reuse of that property. In my professional experience, a clean and cleared assembly makes for a much more responsive development opportunity. I understand there is concern about what will be built on the site following demolition. Future development of the site is required to go through the DRB process with public involvement solicited at several steps throughout that. Proposed plan is to demolish the structure entirely along with the structures located at the properties that I had mentioned previously. The village would then market the entire property to developers for redevelopment. The village has received grant funds to assist with the demolition. As a condition of that grant process, the project is subject to a series of regulations and requirements, including reviews by the State Historic Preservation Office and Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. While the plan is to demolish all of the assembled buildings, only 7620 Madison is a significant property, which is what brings us here today. And to that point, in July 2020, the village presented an application for a certificate of appropriateness for the demolition of 7620 Madison Street to the Historic Preservation Commission. At that time, the commission determined that the application was complete. However, I put this in quote, pending the addition of any findings of research completed on the stained glass and windscreen features, including contacting Lutheran Child and Family Services and Halliburton Root, as well as reviewing permit applications and other building documents that are available. Over the intervening 2 years, village staff and commission members attempted to collect relevant information and were not successful. Halliburton Root stated that the relevant records were likely lost to an office flood. Following an update on our efforts to the commission at the April meeting, the Historic Preservation Commission voted to accept the application as complete and to proceed with the public hearing, which is tonight. Lastly, you may have noticed that recently the sidewalk in front of the property was closed off. I just wanted to be able to tell you what that was all about. It was closed recently after we learned that a section of the facade from the non-historic building attached to 7620 had fallen onto the walkway. We have made emergency repairs to keep the facade in place as a temporary repair. So I'll close out rather quickly by just asking tonight that the HPC grant a certificate of appropriateness to the village as it relates to 7620 Madison with no delay in demolition.
Come to the microphone, please. Just state your name and address for the record, please. Thank you.
Well, my name is Courtney Villari, and I am a resident of Fervor Forest, but also a business owner right next door to the Lutheran Family Services. I own the building at 7700. And I think that I just wanted to make a comment that I'm a little concerned about the demolition, and I not that it's not going to happen, but just the process and the effect of the business. And there was construction across the street recently in Forest Park, and there was a lot of disruption with parking and ability to the office. And I just, being so close and having streets shut down or parking affected, I just wanted to be sure that I kind of just made sure that I was presenting myself and making sure that there was some things that could maybe be taken into account in that.
Thank you. The process and procedures with respect to demolition really aren't within the purview of the HPC. That would be in the event that demolition ultimately occurs, then that would be before subsequent municipal bodies. Is there anyone, I don't see anyone else here present, so I'll close the participation here in this room. Is there anyone online who wishes to speak? Let's first talk from those folks on Zoom other than commission members. Anyone? There is apparently no one who wishes to speak. Is there anyone on the telephone who wishes to speak? Ah. Okay, there is one person here on Zoom. Ma'am, could you please state your name and address for the record, please?
Teresa Peavy, 13 Ashland. My question is that you're talking about destroying a significant property, and then item 7 on your agenda is discuss additional ways you can protect significant properties. And I'm trying to figure out how the commission is rectifying those two issues of you want to protect significant properties, but you also want to tear one down.
The application is being presented by the village. It's not being presented by the commission. Our charge is to attempt to protect significant properties as outlined in the preservation survey that was accomplished almost 10 years ago and is available both online and in various village offices. But we are not the applicant. The commission is not the applicant for the purposes of demolition.
Thank you.
That's a misunderstanding.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else via Zoom? Is there anyone else online on telephone who wishes to speak other than commission members? Any indication, Matt, that anyone?
No one has chatted or raised their hand, so I don't believe anyone wishes to speak. That was me.
Matt, can you read the written comments that have been received either via email or other means to the commission?
I will read or summarize three comments that I received from residents. This first is from Deborah Borman. She lives at 14 Lathrop.
If you could read them in their entirety.
Sure.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, I've been receiving postal notices for hand delivery that requires a I've been receiving postal notices for a hand delivery that requires a signature addressed to the prior owners of my home. Did you send out these notices to neighbors for a required signature? The sender's name is listed as River Forest. I bought my house a year ago today, and my name is on all property and tax records with the county and the village. Meanwhile, these are my concerns about the 7620 Madison property that I wish to have presented at the meeting in lieu of attending. Number one, the letter does not disclose any plan for the property. It seems neither practical nor logical to take down this building and create an empty and open lot without a plan. Number two, this property falls within the TIP district that affects my neighborhood. The village owns two homes around me, 10 Lathrop and 11 Ashland, that are vacant and occasionally create a nuisance in the following ways. A, 10 Lathrop is often unkept, necessitating calls to the Department of Public Works to clean walkways, take care of lawn and shrubs, and remove ivy that grows over the front door, a clear indication to vandals of a vacant property. B, 11 Ashland. Motion detection alley lights on the garage are burned out and need to be replaced to ensure safety at that entrance of the alley between Ashland and Lathrop. C, 11 Ashland. The parking space next to the garage intermittently has a private car parked there for weeks and months. Parking should not be allowed. Number three, piggybacking off of my list of nuisances above, there is currently no plan for the village to build within the Madison Street TIF district. Taking down this building at Madison and Ashland would create the following nuisances, among other problems. A, increased noise from Madison Street as the building currently creates a sound buffer. B, loitering on the corner, spilling out from local establishments, especially in the summer. C, illegal parking if the property is not paved and fenced. D, eyesore for 10 to 15 years, even if the property is fenced with Tyvek and never developed. Number four, the building is not in bad shape. It is not hazardous or unkept from the outside. I would appreciate it if you would enter my concerns into the record at the hearing next week. I work in the evenings and am likely unable to attend this meeting. Thank you for your prompt attention to my concerns. A follow-up email from Ms. Borman. Hi, Matt. I have some additional questions for the hearing on June 23rd. The proposal for demolition of historically significant property contains the following paragraphs. The proposed work is to demolish the structure entirely along with the structures located at 7618 Madison Street, 7614 Madison Street, 7612 Madison Street, 10 Lathrop, and 11 Ashland. The village would then market the entire property to developers for redevelopment. The village received a state grant to fund the demolition. Once the grant agreement is approved, a determination can be made to the timing of the demolition. Demolition plans. As stated in the original application documents, the village has received grant funding from the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity for this project. The village intends to properly secure the demolition site and market the site for redevelopment. The site currently has signs advertising its availability. There are no current plans for redevelopment, in bold, emphasis added. My additional questions are as follows. Number one, when was there a hearing discussing demolishing all of this other village-owned property? Number two, what were the results of that hearing? Number three, what did the owners of residential properties within feet of all these buildings and structures have to say? And number four, when does the grant for demolition expire? Please present these questions at the hearing. Thank you. Another follow-up from Ms. Borman. Yesterday. Hello again. I have some additional questions to be presented at the meeting tomorrow. HPC packet states, for nearly 2 years, staff and commission members attempted to collect relevant information and were not successful. What sources did the commission explore for information on the building? Please provide the process and the attempted contacts in all detail. Number two, the Madison Street Redevelopment Project number one request for expression of interest expired on July 9, 2021. This REI been extended? Is there a new REI? And number three, the EDC REI packet number two indicates the intent to explore adaptive reuse. What has been done to explore adaptive reuse? Where is the discussion and what was the public hearing on adaptive reuse before considering demolition and without any plan or proposal for redevelopment? Thank you. Morning, I received an email from Gene Follett, whose address is Wheaton, Illinois, 629 West Elm Street. Dear Mr. Walsh, Chairman David Franek, and Historic Preservation Commissioners, tonight's Historic Preservation Commission meeting has an agenda item for consideration of a demolition request for multiple historic buildings on Madison Street, Lathrop, and Ashland. The building at 7620 Madison, according to your Historic Resources Survey, is considered architecturally significant. This building and the three adjacent structures are all included in the Landmarks Illinois' recent past survey conducted throughout suburban Cook County by students from the Art Institute of Chicago. It is our understanding that the state is providing money for the proposed demolitions. Under Illinois law, demolition of historic structures that are potentially eligible for the National Register of Historic Places, if demolition will be done using public funds, cannot occur until they have been reviewed by the State Historic Preservation Office under Section 707. According to the State Historic Preservation Office, no review has been done of these buildings. The presence of these buildings in a TIF district also triggers the Section 707 law. A public hearing without this mandatory review is premature. Proposed demolition of these buildings is problematic for several additional reasons. First, your own comprehensive plan states that, quote, when addressing land use and development in River Forest, it is essential to note the significance of the community's historic and architectural heritage. It appears that no consideration has been given to the historic and architectural significance of the structures proposed for demolition. The building at 7620 Madison is a solidly built and well-designed example by a nationally known architecture firm, Halliburton Root. Three adjacent commercial buildings are good examples of early 20th century commercial design, and they represent a type and a scale that are very desirable in today's challenging retail climate. Second, the River Forest Sustainability Commission and the newly created Cross-Community Climate Collaborative should be focusing some of their efforts towards encouraging building rehabilitation rather than demolition and new construction. The demolition of these buildings will place tons of non-renewable resources and embodied energy into the landfill. Money that is being spent on demolition could be used for rehabilitation efforts, bringing these structures back into a marketable condition. Throwing away existing built assets is not a sustainable practice. Finally, the proposed demolition seemed to represent an outdated, quote, clear it and they will come planning mentality. Residents have the right to know what the hope for outcome is on this site. What uses, what scale, what design qualities, what setbacks, and what parking provisions will be requested from potential developers? What happens to the site if there is no developer interest? Vacant lot is a blight in a way that no vacant building is, especially when it abuts existing single-family residential. The most sustainable way to protect the architectural heritage and community character of your village is to find creative ways to reuse existing historic buildings. Clearing large parcels through the demolition of multiple historic buildings is not good planning and generally does not result in a 100-year building of distinctive architectural character. I hope the village will seriously reconsider the push to demolish these buildings. It is required by law, and it is the right thing to do.
And those are the only comments that we've received.
Yes, I did also speak to a resident today.
Okay.
That was, but I did want to share some of the concerns.
Please.
That this is Annette Madden from 14 Ashland. Most of her concerns had to do with potential nuisance is that will come over to the neighboring residences due to the removal of the building and the activity on Madison Street. Also shared concerns about hazardous materials that might be exposed or become prominent during the demolition process, and also the rodents that might be released into that nearby neighborhood from that demolition. And also she also just wanted to be kept in the loop of any future plans for the demolition. And
thank you. Village Attorney Greg Smith, I have two questions perhaps you can address. The first would be the order in which our review is being conducted vis-a-vis other municipal boards and commissions, state HPC, et cetera.
So the Village of River Forest has its own historic preservation process. That's why we're here. That process operates independent of the State Historic Preservation Office's review. River Forest is not a certified local government under the state historic regulations, unlike other communities which have gone through that process because of the way that their historic regulations work. So the state of Illinois will be reviewing this project, as Village Administrator Brian Murphy indicated. That's independent from and not relevant to your consideration of how your own ordinance applies to the application before you. The village must check off a number of boxes, as Village Administrator indicated, in order for demolition to occur, including this group's decision. The state of Illinois has many requirements as well, and its Historic Preservation Office will independently review this matter for your consideration. The suggestion and the comment that there's a legal hurdle, I'm unaware of any such legal hurdle, and in the past there have been demolitions in town where the State Historic Preservation Office, to my knowledge, has not inserted itself in the middle of that. So it's contrary to my experiences.
Would you like to speak to the order in which our proceeding has been being conducted vis-a-vis other arms of the Village Administration, River Forest, and commissions?
Sure. Yeah. So with regard to the internal village process, as Village Administrator Murphy noted, the request at this time is simply for demolition. It's not also for development approvals. The development process in River Forest is extraordinarily robust through the Development Review Board because these properties are large enough in terms of village. Nothing can be approved to be built on them without going through the Development Review Board and then the Village Board making its determination. The Development Review Board process requires a neighbor meeting before an application is filed, and then a series of additional publicly noticed meetings regarding proposed development. And so the HPC at this point is involved because of the request for demolition. It is a necessary step that the village itself apply for this permission in order to set the table for future development.
We've heard a number of comments that are more far-ranging than our narrow charge with respect to protecting significant properties in the village. Would you like to address the scope of some of those requests?
Yeah. So, I can briefly. The Historic Preservation Commission, in deciding whether or not to grant the certificate of appropriateness or to impose some demolition delay on it, the commission tonight should be looking to the standards in your ordinance and deciding whether or not they're met. Your consideration does not include whether or not there is a proposed future use for the property. Instead, it's whether or not demolition of the structure is in keeping with the standards that are set forth in your ordinance.
Many of the comments that have been received are certainly germane and appropriate for further discussion, but probably not appropriate for consideration by the Historic Preservation Commission this evening. Is that a fair statement?
I, in general, yes. I don't want to tread on your discretion as appointed officials in River Forest, but I would say that you should look and consider the standards in your ordinance and determine which evidence and testimony you've been presented is relevant there. I think that a good deal of what you've heard, it doesn't necessarily tie directly to the standards. I make the same advice to zoning boards when they're being presented with irrelevant evidence, right? You want to look at your standards and decide what's right.
Thank you. With that, in that there are no further individuals who have appeared in person nor online, via Zoom, nor on the telephone, I'd like to close the public hearing portion of the discussion regarding the application for the certificate of appropriateness and move on to our deliberations and discussions as a commission. Commissioner Forehand.
I wouldn't mind going back on the required to go forward.
Correct.
Okay.
Because whenever the state of Illinois deploys a grant fund such as those in question, you have to go through a multitude of state compliance, including historic preservation. So the State Historic Preservation Office has a set of regulations that they apply to these reviews, and the village will have to go through that process. And at the end of that process, the village will get its answer. And then ultimately, I believe it's the DCEO or a different state agency all the funds. Statement on the State Historic Preservation website to that effect.
So if we were to go ahead and issue the state came back and said that money for the demolition, the village could still move forward with the demolition without
the state review is limited to its use of the funds. That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
State cannot stop, cannot prohibit the demolition of the building.
I missed the last meeting when. But I understand from reading the minutes of that.
Both Commissioner Raina Wogden and former village assistant to the administrator, John Pape, spent much of the last 2 years attempting to track down relevant information, first from the former owner, the Lutheran Child and Family Services owner, as well as Hollabird and Root. And after an extensive exchange last fall, by I think October, perhaps November, someone from Hollabird and Root responded that there had been a flood in their basement where many of their architectural drawings had been held for safekeeping, and regrettably they were destroyed. And their perception is that any plans with respect to this building had in fact been part of that destruction. What we were seeking was information as to really two elements. One, for lack of a better term, the windscreen out front, and secondly, the colored glass, in order to determine whether either had been executed by someone of note, designed by someone of note, and trying to get more background information. And regrettably, we couldn't find any information. John Pape also checked through the village building records to determine whether there was any indication, and wasn't able to find any relevant information as to those two matters. So we pretty much exhausted what we could. Okay. Commissioner Sager.
Okay. So the elements that were stated that the Lakota group or the survey group determined that this was a significant property, and they're all in the packet. It's an excellent mid-century modern style example. And then the stone screen and the extensive art glass are kind of additional bells and whistles, maybe. And our village board accepted this as part of the whole survey, the significant properties. I went by the building and I didn't see any change there. Those elements in place or were in place. I don't know what the 1960 picture was, but it appears that those elements haven't changed at all. Therefore, looking at our ordinance and the very narrow charge for us, I would say not appropriate to tear down that building. That's a certificate of appropriateness would not be appropriate. However, there is, that being said, then we have another step, correct?
That's correct.
And that is our power to enforce some kind of a demolition delay up to 6 months. Going by what has been done by the village, I don't know what good it would do to enforce a delay months just because we can. So that's my opinion, that those elements are still there, that building is still historic, has the historic significance. However, delaying this demolition beyond some would describe it as, but maybe 10 days, 5 days a week, some good faith effort. In my opinion, that's how I would look at it. That's how I'm looking at it.
Commissioner Krasinski, thoughts?
I don't have any questions.
Okay. Commissioner Graham White.
A few thoughts. One, this is a mid-20th century modern building, and there are not a large number of buildings of that period on the significant property list. And I have the concern I have about approving this for a certificate of appropriateness is that in 20 years, 30 years, we'll say, gee, why did we have that torn down? And I think one of the reasons that historic preservation commissions came about in this country was that so many significant properties were just being torn down with no thought about what they meant in the past and what they would mean in the future. I don't know how many, but there were a lot of Frank Lloyd Wright's just torn down because they could be torn down. As Jan said, obviously, whether we approve this or not, the village can demolish the property. We cannot stop that. And one of the reasons we put that, what is it, the 6-month delay in, and that was only what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, was essentially to give the property owner time to find a buyer who would preserve the property. I don't think that's in the stars right now for the village. I mean, I guess I would ask the village if they had at any point contemplated, you know, preserving and, you know, redeveloping and using the old Lutheran Family Services building for other usage. I don't know about the other properties on either side of it. I guess that's probably all I would say at this point.
Commissioner Reno-Ogden.
I think one of our callers that called in nailed some things about adaptive reuse. Mm-hmm. And I think Carla and Jan also nailed some things. One thing I disagree with Carla is that 6 months may allow for someone to see that as an adaptive reuse project. I know we haven't had any luck on that up to this point, but boy, maybe with a little more press or something, someone may see that as a possibility. And I'd almost prefer to hold on to that chance, slim as it is, that someone may see that as a opportunity to save a great piece of architecture, but it's only an historic piece of architecture, and also save the cost of plowing that stuff back into the earth and saving all those that work that made that building happen, rather than tearing it down and saving our environment in the meantime.
Can I just ask so I guess it's Brian Murphy. I haven't met you, Brian, yet, but hi. If there is a possibility for the village to publicize, you know, this, and that the village is looking for someone to, you know, to purchase it and, you know, for adaptive reuse rather than tearing it down. I mean, I don't know how that fits into, you know, the village's plan right now. Obviously what's the village has bought is just kind of sitting there. I guess the house on Ashland and the house on some Lathrop, they are just kind of sitting there. One of the residents complained about the state those are in. And I don't know about the other two buildings, but you know, what would be the possibility of looking for this? I think we were kind of surprised that you know, the village was going to demolish this right now.
Brian, if you could speak to that.
Thank you, Carla. I think I just need to be clear. The village has always been trying to position this as a possible adaptive reuse and as a redevelopment ever since we purchased it back in 2017. So we've held on to, we've been working on this for about 5 years to try to find a user for the building, both as it stands and then as well for doing a complete redevelopment on the site. So under every circumstance, I think the efforts have been made for us to try to make that happen. And that said, if there are ways, and as we have conversations with future developers, if there is a way that we can save, you know, key elements to reuse back into a new development, something I think we'd like to try to entertain, but that's not something that I would be able to present as something we can do today.
What about preserving some of the elements like the, you know, the windows and the screen and all that, rather than just tearing
them down? That's essentially what I was intimating, is that if there are some elements that we could try to bring back into a development on that, would like to try to entertain, but again, I can't speak to that. I don't have that authority from the board.
Okay.
Hey, Brian, if you could stay at the microphone, I got a couple of questions. You had mentioned that the village had needed to secure some elements on adjoining buildings that are all part of this assemblage. Can you sort of speak to that?
There has been some damage to the buildings over time. There has been, and I can't speak to it, it doesn't matter for the group here. However, there has been water leaks that have gotten inside the building, and as a result, those water leaks have also gotten in between the face of the building and the structure itself. And so during the freeze-thaw cycle, we've been losing on down Madison. So as a result, we had to close off Madison Street, do some emergency on the building that's immediately adjacent to this. Those two buildings actually are integrated together. I can't speak to that. I'm not a structural engineer entirely. However, those two buildings do.
Does anyone have any other questions for Brian while he's at the microphone?
I have a weird question. I don't know if it's appropriate. So did anybody talk about the village can tear down whatever it wants, but is there any discussion about could we save this historical building as it is and tear down the rest of the building as you want to do? How feasible is that? And
I'll bring to you my professional experience. Right, I've been in local government management for 30 years. I've done a lot of economic development over those years in communities very similar to River Forest and elsewhere. And I'll tell you that the places where I've had good success at getting redevelopment and development on sites is on a blank site. So that is a big challenge for us when we take a look at the unique shape to how this lays out and the available space that is presented to us. The best, highest use for that property is for it to be clean slate, and then we move forward from there. And to that point, Village has, again, since we've owned it, since 2017, made a number of efforts to try to attract developers to come in to redevelop what is there and do some adaptive reuse. It's been a very big challenge, what sits on that property, especially with some of the conditions inside of it. As well, I'll speak to, there are asbestos concerns within the building. Again, that's not a concern. All of those details within the larger story of trying to redevelop that site, thing actually does become a
state grant.
So they, we actually just received the notice of award from the state. It was approved within April budget. So we've been given notice that we have a notice of state award. Next step for us, obviously, is there are series of things that we have to, some paperwork we have to take care of as well. The state has to issue a bond. Illinois grant, old Illinois bond fund. The timing yet on that. So the SHPO review comes in at concert with the review by.
What's your best sense as to the time frame we're talking about? And I think as we understand, you don't have a crystal ball, not even a fuzzy one. But if we could get some sense as to what we're speaking about in terms of what the shelf life is of the award.
Well, the shelf life of the award is it's only good for the fiscal year of the state. So we are looking at something that everything done, which means I have to issue the RFP, get the bids in, get approved that we've met the requirements through that RFP process, which includes disadvantaged business enterprise analyses and the like. So there's a whole process that goes into that. Then I can begin the work, have the building removed, and that all has to be done before. Have everything done before.
Okay. And working backward from that, are we the first step in the process? Are we the third step in the process? Are, in other words, what I'm trying to understand is if, in fact, the commission voted to withhold the certificate of appropriateness and impose a delay, at what point in time does the extent of that delay jeopardize potential funding because you've just effectively run out the clock?
Sure. So we aren't at the early, we aren't at the first steps. We've gone through a series of steps already with DCEO. We're at a point where it has moved over to the Office of Management and Budget, so we are waiting for them to be issued to issue the bond. As soon as they issue the bond, then we're able to get into a place where all the SHPO work that needs to be. As far as timeline goes, yeah, I don't know. Is the hard part. So, you know, is it a week? Is it a month? Those details were, again, I had hoped to have that answer for you tonight by having out to the Office of Management talk in earnest as to when they would actually issue the. I tell you, 2 months ago, we were told it was imminent, but we don't have an idea.
Well, yeah, so on timeline as well, I'd remind the commission that the village did apply in July of 2020 for a certificate of appropriateness to demolish the building. So in effect, the village has been under a 2-year demolition delay. Green to keep its application open at your request to do more diligence on it. So I'd ask you to keep that in mind if you do find that it would be inappropriate to consider the lengthy period that the application's been on file.
In terms of my thoughts, personally, the purpose of the demolition delay is, I think, clearly stated, and that is to explore potential alternatives. That would include everything from adaptive reuse to reconstruction to rehabilitation to renovation. We have had, my recollection, only two other instances where we have been presented with requests for a certificate of appropriateness with regard to a demolition of a significant property. In both instances, one, the former so-called Mars Mansion, that was in a, we withheld the certificate of appropriateness. And at that point in time, we had a very small window in which to impact demolition. Subsequent, there was a property, 1123 Franklin, where a residence had been foreclosed or had been taken over by the bank. It was its lender, and the current property owners presented an issue where they believed that the building was structurally unsound, and they wished to demolish it and build in its stead. In that particular instance, the property had been owned by a bank for a significant period of time, I think a couple of years, if I remember correctly. And one of the unfortunate aspects of so-called other real estate owned or OREO properties, as the bank jargon calls them, is that frequently the lending institution does not maintain the properties to typically the standards that a normal residential owner would. We, in fact, also withheld the certificate of appropriateness in that instance, but I believe we imposed a demolition delay of, I believe, 1 week. Is that correct? Yeah. Correct. And the purpose of that short delay was to state that, in fact, the property had been on the market for an extended period of time and no one had really stepped forward. We were not operating under any specific information as to the efforts that the former lender, then owner, had made in order to obtain a subsequent purchaser who would rehab the property, although I believe it had been listed with a realtor for an extended portion of that time. We've heard a lot of comments tonight as to the various concerns that people have with respect to the property, many of which deal with the impact of a potential demolition. Things with respect to the surrounding community, with respect to noise, dust, debris, environmental pollution, because of potential hazardous items, hazardous waste situated within the building, as may have been typical of buildings of that vintage, as well as keeping things out of the landfill. All of those are valid concerns, in large part, perhaps outside of the scope of our review. Our review, our charge, is to protect significant properties. So I think we've got a two-step process here. The first of which is, do we wish to grant a certificate of appropriateness, or do we wish to withhold that certificate? Secondly, if we wish to withhold the certificate, what period of time do we wish to attach to withholding that certificate? We are not in a position to stop a demolition. We can only delay it for a period of up to 6 months on this particular property. Those are my thoughts. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to say, either in respect to my comments or anyone else's comments, before we sort of address the issue in that order? Namely, do we want to grant a C of A, or do we wish to withhold? And secondly, if we wish to withhold, at what period of time would there be a demolition delay? John?
Ann mentioned earlier, was home to me a little bit, and that, you know, was thought to be a significant structure. Not changed since then, so, you know, it still abides by those. Personally, I, as an architect, I've been involved in some projects where demolition has taken place, only to find out later down the road that it was some significant art glass, and that gives me pause. The fact that we can't delay it beyond 6 months, you know, we have personally, again, that the state review a little better. In effect, you know, if they find out that there is their historic review, would probably potentially dig up more than our efforts have. We really don't have a staff to go out and explore that building. Volunteers, we really don't know about the history. We may never know. But it was defined as this structure. So I say these things that so that people understand where I'm coming from. And that it remains a history. Question is, should we delay this? The quick question I had is, recently we had gone to the commercial structures and said that could be a delay here. I'm assuming this property was not part of it.
Those are the so-called PRI. Public recreational institutional properties. This is not a PRI.
Okay, thank you.
Jan, further comments?
Thank you, John. I think, you know, I'm, as far as the certificate of appropriateness, I have not changed my mind about that. I think it's, I would withhold that. The delay, what hit me was what Attorney Smith said. We've already enforced a delay, and it hasn't really had, it hasn't had any effect on saving the property from demolition. We can only, the village, I believe, has shown good faith in trying to find the alternatives. But we can only go so far on that. That was not our charge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my other, then my additional thought is a delay that is very reasonable, meaning maybe less than a week, but it's up to consensus. Thank you.
Scott?
I don't have any comment.
Okay. Perla? Any further comment?
I don't think I have any further comment. I think that we know that if we delay, you know, if we impose a delay, it is, I'm not quite sure how to phrase it. It is, it's, I don't even want to use the word ideological, because we don't want the property to be torn down. And yet we know we really do not have any choice in that matter.
David?
I agree. I think it's our charge to do our best to preserve this, but I think it's only fair to the applicant that we stick by our 6-month standard whenever that we can't take our own sweet time to research things and have that be separate from that 6-month penalty. So we got to figure out a date and when that was submitted or when it was first brought about and backtrack from that. And set that as our delay if, in fact, we vote against the certificate of appropriateness to demolish.
Sure. Greg, do you want to speak to when we first received an application and posed questions to village staff as to further information with respect to some of the perceived architectural elements?
Let me believe it was in July of 2020 is the first time it appeared on your agenda. Pulling up the meeting packet from, so July 23rd of 2020, HPC meeting agenda item 4, consideration of certificate of appropriateness application 7620 Madison demolition. What appeared on your agenda at that meeting, and then let me just pull up meeting minutes reflect that the application was presented. Commissioners, and some of those present, noted Hollibaird and Root was the architect, a notable firm. Thus, it would be important, if possible, to determine who the artist was for the stained glass or windscreen. Ultimately, a motion was made and seconded and passed to accept the application on July 23rd of 2020 as complete, pending the addition of any findings of research completed on stained glass and windscreen features from the prior owner and the architect, as well as reviewing permit applications and materials.
Okay. All right. It appears we've all had our say, certainly on the first of the issues. Does someone want to present a motion with respect to the grant, in other words, the approval of a certificate of appropriateness to demolish this building?
I'd like to make a motion, not for the approval, but the opposite.
To withhold?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Commissioner Graham White.
This is to withhold
the certificate of appropriateness. What I was doing is I was responding with a motion that would be in line with the village's request to approve. Rather than that, what we have is the reverse. We have a motion in front of us to withhold, namely to deny the certificate of appropriateness.
Is there a time limit on this one?
Not yet. That's sort of okay. Step two, if in fact we elect to withhold.
Okay. Aye.
Commissioner Reno Ogden?
Aye.
Commissioner Forehan?
Aye.
Commissioner Kruzinski?
Aye.
Commissioner Sager?
Aye.
Chairman Franek?
Aye. So the certificate of appropriateness is withheld. We now have the ability to withhold up to 6 months with respect to a demolition. Let's talk about the time frame.
Would that 6 months not begin from when it was presented to us? In July?
The application was completed, right? Can I ask, because I remember voting on this almost 2 years ago, was the application complete when it was presented to us then? I don't remember.
The meeting minutes from July 23rd of 2020 included a motion passed by the commission to accept the application of the village for demolition of the village, of the building as being complete, subject to the additional due diligence on the windscreen and the stained glass. So the application was not deemed complete until 2 months ago on April 21st, I believe, of this year, when the commission passed a motion deeming that the village had completed its diligence.
Okay.
So the application was formally accepted in April of 2022.
Okay. Got it. So then it's 6 months from that April 2022 date is the maximum?
That is the maximum.
Okay.
So we have 4 months on the clock or on the calendar.
We have, by that rationale, we would have the ability to tack on an additional 4 months. From today.
I'm not interested in 4 months or three or two.
going to be more like said before, maybe 5 days, maybe 3 days. But thank you for explaining that we could delay more.
Personally,